Well, as we mentioned, our pastor is away in Arkansas, and so tonight he asked Brother Brad Wilkins to come and speak to us. So preach to us, brother.
All righty. Open up to Micah 5:2. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. That is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we again just thank you, Lord, so much that not only can we be in your house tonight, but that we got to be in your house this morning through the Sunday school hour and the morning service. And Lord, we just thank you for the way you continue to bless each and every one of us. You continue to provide and meet all of our needs. And Lord, we just thank you for each and every one in attendance today, Lord. And we just pray that right now as we get ready for the message, I pray right now as I get ready to bring forth the message, Lord, that once again, you just move me aside of self, and Lord, just use me as your mouthpiece, that this message be your message. And Lord, we do pray for our pastor who's away, and we just pray that you continue to use him greatly there in Arkansas and bring him back to us safely. And Lord, I personally thank you for the opportunity once again just to be asked, Lord, to even be used a little bit to fill this pulpit. And Lord, we just ask for each and every one in attendance tonight, Lord, that we could just for this little bit of time, Lord, just to rid our minds of anything that might be a distraction or a hindrance, and just to give you your full attention tonight, Lord, that we be able to get something out of this that we can apply to our lives as we walk away and just grow a little bit closer to you and be better for you than when we walk through the doors. And again, Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you do in each and every one of our lives, and we thank you in advance for what you continue to do. And we pray these things in the name of your precious Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things I like to do every now and then when I look at either a book in the Bible or I read a certain verse is, even though I don't do choir and stuff, I like to apply a song to it. And one of my favorite songs is Little as Much When God Is In It. And I look at this verse and I just always, whenever I read this verse, I think of little things. Because I think so often we get consumed with the big things, and yet it's all those little things and those little details that add up greatly. I was just thinking about just before we even came here, my wife is in choir because I'm the guy that you have sing when you want everyone to leave the building. But so I have to get Annabelle ready. And yes, I get picked on for this, but yes, I braided her hair today, okay? But I tell her the time to get ready, and she just wanted just a few minutes to just pretend to be daddy's dentist. And I've never had so many cavities and yanked teeth in my life. But taking that little bit of time for her meant the world to her because she had her daddy to herself, but it also changed her demeanor of not wanting to get ready to, yes, daddy, whatever you want, daddy. And I think if we just focus on those little things for the Lord and what he wants us to do, we will find ourselves being more in love with him and more obedient to what he wants us to do. And I think those little things, they can be such a blessing or a distraction. I was just saying, just spending time with the kids can be such a blessing. And yet we live in an era where we have these little devices in our hands all the time that can be such a distraction, not only from our families and those that are around us. There's nothing worse than trying to talk to somebody that can't quit doing this. But those little distractions keep us from keeping our focus on the Lord. We find ourselves more and more spending time watching the television or playing on our phones than in God's word or in prayer. And I know that we could say, oh, but I got my Bible on the phone. I don't know about you, but if I ever try to look at a Bible app on my phone, that seems like that's when all the text messages start or the news alerts or whatever else that you don't even know how in the world they just keep chiming, but they keep... And it takes your focus off of what I'm supposed to be doing at that moment. So we often overlook the little things in life. We overlook the little things that God wants us to do. And we tend to often focus on the big things. The problem is, when we directly only focus on the big things, we sometimes get overwhelmed. I know right now, I don't know if anyone else is, but it just seems like we've got the most tree branches and limbs in our backyard than we've ever had over this past winter. And you look out there and it looks like a war zone. And my loving wife looks at the whole project and gets overwhelmed. And it's like, no, we just take a few hours each Saturday and we go out and we just take section at a time and plug away, just little by little. And I think sometimes when we serve the Lord, we're looking at the whole picture, what we got to do. I know the last years past, we led VBS and Pastor Knight's leading it this year. And I'm sure he's looking at all of this like, wow, this is a lot to do. This could be overwhelming. But when you just start dissecting it little by little and taking each step and just trusting the Lord along the way, the overall project gets done. So one of the first things about little things is a little work leads to big work. We all know this parable, but Luke 19:17, and he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, thou have the authority over 10 cities. And we know the parable when the nobleman comes and he gives everyone a talent and says to do what you want with it. And he comes back and the first one comes and says, I turned my one talent into 10. And he says, because of this, you'll be ruler over 10 cities. And the second man comes and says, I turned my talent into 5. And he says, because of this, thou will be faithful over 5 cities. But the man that came and only turned in one talent, that kept it and hid it and did nothing with it, he took it away and gave it to the man with 10 cities. And I think about this, but the Lord never said to be faithful over big things. He trusted them to be faithful with a little. And when they were, he gave them much. You see, the servant who did nothing had his pound taken away and given to the man with 10 cities. And I think about at work, and I've seen this even in the church, but at work, you know who we go to when we need a rush job done? We don't go to the guy that's standing around with hardly anything to do. We always seem to find the guy that's super busy already. Why? Because we know that we can trust him to get the job done. And we see that in the churches. We see so often that it seems like a handful of people are doing most of the things. It's because we know that we can rely on them and trust them to do that. And our flesh can get the better of us. We can desire big positions and big things. We can desire to be seen. If we're not careful, we can get jealous of what others are asked to do, whether it be at school, home, work, and even in the church. I see a younger generation, and I know, because my grandfather used to say the generation under him, man, my dad's generation was lazy and this and that, and then my dad said it about my generation, and now I find myself acting just like them. But I see a younger generation coming up that they want to walk into the shop for top dollar without earning their way there. And one of the things that I've heard is in order to attract apprentices, we have to pay them way more than they're worth. And I sat there and I thought to myself, I said, but the problem with that is they're missing out on the joy of getting those big raises every year to get themselves the top rate. And all the little work that they keep building upon and learning along the way that they can build upon their career to get to that point. And that's where I think sometimes our focus is we come in and we just want to do the big things in the church. But all those little things need done. And we understand too, in God's eyes, as long as we're busy for him, he's pleased with us. It's our flesh that wants to be seen doing the big things. Now, I know I jokingly say this all the time. I even talked about it in my Sunday school class this morning. That was the last thing I ever wanted. I prayed all the time. I will drive the bus. I will fix the bus. I will build stages for VBS. I will build stages for the Christmas plays. Whatever you want, Lord. I'll do anything that I can't be seen doing. And the Lord said, I'm going to call you to preach. And I was like, you sure about this? Because my wife will tell you, I don't like talking to people, let alone being in front of people. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it feels like it's 105 degrees in here today. You know? And if it's 105 there, it's like 115 up here, I'm telling you. But just continuing to be faithful in what God wants us to do and not worry about what others are asked to do. Just focus on what God wants us to do. Because when we're focusing on others, that's when you get frustrated and distracted the most. Many times people desire the power, the praise, the prestige of the big things, yet want no part of doing all the little things, the little tasks, the actual work that it takes to get there. And you think about in sports, everything that goes on, I think about wrestling and that, and it wasn't what was on the mat practice. It was everything that you did outside that mattered, all the little details that added up, whether it be your working out, your nutrition, your endurance conditioning, and you're getting the right amount of sleep. I think about when I, believe it or not, was in orchestra and I played the viola. It didn't start really good, okay? You bring it home and your parents are proud. They want you to play an instrument, but then they tell you to stop playing that instrument in the house because it's driving their ears nuts, you know? But it took practice, and it kept just a little bit by little bit. You kept getting better and better. And we need to understand, we can't just expect to go out and be perfect for the Lord and that we're just going to be super at what he wants us to do. You know, I alluded to before, I mean, I remember many things that we first started to do for the Lord, and it was a struggle in the beginning. But then we just kept trusting God and doing it with God, and he just kept building upon it and strengthening us and using us greatly in those areas. And I think about my own walk with the Lord, and I was joking about this today, but I know that when we first got saved, we wanted to do so much. And of course, when you're a babe in Christ, you really think you can do so much, and then you get burned out real quick. And I remember a pastor, he said, he gave us the first ministry for us to do. And we didn't know what it was. He goes, I'm going to have you do the tables and chairs ministry. I think he made it up. I don't think it existed because I've never heard of it since. But all we did was set up in tables and chairs for fellowships and take tables and chairs down after fellowships. And it felt like there was a fellowship every weekend that year. But we just kept building upon it. And then we started to get to serve in RU. And at first, we sat down and we were told that we were going to be working with kids in RU. And we didn't want to do that. We were like, well, from our backgrounds and what we got saved up out of, we want to help adults. But then Pastor asked us to do games for VBS that year. And we got to work with the kids and we fell in love with it. And we saw where God was leading. And then he just kept building upon. We would just keep taking step by step and step and build upon it and do what he wanted us to do. And we're probably nowhere near what he really wants us to be doing, but we're still trying to take those steps in doing what God wants us to do. And he just wants us to keep doing the little things, because those little things keep adding up and building big for what he wants of us. Matthew 10:42 says, and whosoever shall give drink unto one of these little ones a cold cup of water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose reward. We look at this as a drink of water. Nothing big, nothing important. People come to your house, you offer them a drink all the time. And he's saying, hey, a little thing. Just by giving them a cup of water, you're not going to lose your reward. You see, God rewards the little things we do. Because those little things, not only do they continue to add up, but those little things added up keep us busy for the Lord and keep us away from doing what he doesn't want us to do. And just because we can't do it all at once doesn't mean that we shouldn't keep doing it. And I think of all those silly little things that I think I can put off till tomorrow, that God had something for me, and how many rewards I've lost because of it. And something as silly as not handing a gospel tract to the person in the parking lot. You don't think much of it. You're like, oh, I missed him. And yet I often now tell my kids, now, what if that was the last time that person had the chance to get a gospel track? So we need to constantly just do with those whatever God has to ask us, no matter what. And I understand, nobody likes the no-frills job and that don't get credit. I think about when I was an apprentice in the shop, and I'll tell you what, the apprentices, all you did was you drove the trucks, you cleaned the office, you cleaned the bathrooms, and if anyone's ever been in a shop bathroom, those are no fun to clean. Cleaned out EDM machines from the oil and the sludge out of the tanks, all these things you don't want to do as an apprentice. And of course, the first year as an apprentice, you're like, I want to run machines. I want to be a tool maker. And you get all upset. I don't want to drive the truck all the time. Fast forward 30 years, and I wish and beg I could go out and drive the truck all the time now. I even tried to apply for a truck driver job once, and they turned me down. But it kept adding up, and they were doing it to see your faithfulness. And they're like, all right, this guy is doing this, and everything we've asked, let's start giving him a little more responsibility. And now we're going to trust him with a little more time on the machine and to do a little more. And, you know, and I realized after this, too, in being in church and that, so often we want to do stuff at the church, but I realized, quite frankly, I can do a lot more for God outside of this pulpit, outside of my Sunday school class, outside of my junior church for the Lord, than I can in it. I mean, I go to work every day, and I have a mission field to talk, to tell others about Christ. It's not just Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday that we should be doing what we can for the Lord, but it's every single time we wake up that He gives us a new day. It's a new opportunity that we can continue to build upon those little things and keep doing more for Him. A little sin has big consequences. Joshua 22:17. In this iniquity, Peor, too little for us, from which we are not cleansed this day, although there was a plague from in the congregation of the Lord. Joshua is saying something we did 40 years ago is still affecting us. And we got to be careful. I mean, and so often what we our sins not only affect us, but they can affect our family and our loved ones around us. You know, I know it's a terrible thing about this, but I praise the Lord that in my unsaved days, in the activities that I did, that I should never have been behind the wheel of a car. But I praise the Lord that He never had me get in an accident. Amen. And hurt someone else, because my sin could have affected a family so drastically. And I praise Him even more that I'm so far away from that way I used to live. Amen. And just continue to trust and do what He wants, because that is truly what keeps us going. And I think about how Satan can be like a weed. You notice how just a little thing, a little struggle, a little problem can turn into a big problem and a big deal. We all joke and talk about our kids, and they say it's just one cookie they took. You know, it's hard. I don't know how it is, but that when I grew up, my parents had no problem wailing that belt for every little thing. And now the things I got punished for, they giggle and let the grandkids get away with it. And it makes it a struggle for us because, I know it was one cookie, but this is the third time it's been one cookie, and Annabelle can't keep getting away with this. And then, you know, but it keeps adding up. And then it's one little lie. Yeah. It's one little item they took for the store. You know, my middle son graduates this year, and I'll never forget his first shoplifting excursion. He's 3 years old. Comes out of Walmart with something orange in his hand. As soon as his mom asked to see it at 3. Now, mind you, he's only 3, but he knew that he was in trouble. So he runs across the car and throws it to his brother and says, "Hold this." And I don't know why a 3-year-old would steal 5-hour energy drink. But he learned real quick that we couldn't let that go, and he got marched back into the store, kicking, screaming, crying, digging his heels in. But there was just no way we could let that one little thing go, because we knew that it could lead to a big problem. For those that might not know the Lord yet, or might want to resort back to their old flesh. For me, it was, you know, I have an all or nothing personality. And sometimes it can be a terrible thing. It was just one beer led to countless each night. Just one cigarette led to countless packs each week. You know, I think about how many people say it's just one video on the internet, and yet it's one of the biggest problems in America today.
That's right.
It starts with one little time, and it leads to a big problem. It's just one Sunday night that I went and did something else instead of going to church. And yet, you look at the number of a Sunday night attendance versus a Sunday morning attendance. That one Sunday adds up quickly. Or how many Wednesday nights do we miss because I'm too tired because of work? It all adds up. And it always started with just one. You see, because we constantly give Satan those little things that he can use to trip us up. James 3:5-6 says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that is, defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. You see, that little tongue of ours can get us into so much trouble. I just alluded to lies. It's amazing at work how many guys you catch doing things, and they will stand right there and tell you they didn't do it. Or how many screw up a part. They were the last one to touch it, but it wasn't me. I think of the arguments that you get in. You know, you ever watch your kids when they're arguing with each other and they just get mean and ugly? And I sit there all the time and I was watching that and I'm like, you know, if we get this mean and ugly with each other, how do we ever put God first in that situation? Because if you're screaming at your spouse, your kids, you're definitely not going to be able to focus on God first. You see, that little thing that could just continue to creep in and get the better of us. I think of little insults. Now, I'm not talking about the insults of our song leader that I'm not going to mention names that calls me a jerk in the hallway. But I'm talking about just those insults that just we purposely do to antagonize or a little gossip. It's funny that we can gossip and we can pinpoint what everyone else is doing wrong and tell others about it, and then we don't realize that in the process of us diagnosing what others are doing wrong, that we're violating Proverbs 6 about the 6 or 7 things that are an abomination. See, that little tongue gets us in trouble, doesn't it? I mean, there's nobody in this world that knows the right button to push at the wrong time on his wife than me. I can tell if she's just having one of the moments and I just, I'm going to throw a little bird in there to just mess with her. Usually backfires on me. But that little tongue can get us in so much trouble. And now, our little help helps big. You know, we might not be rich, but our little bit together can do a whole lot for the Lord. Amen. You think about in 1 Kings 17 with Elijah, when he's told to go to Zarephath, and he goes and he gets to the gate of the city, and he sees that little widow woman gathering sticks, and he asks her for water to drink. And as she goes to get the water, it's always water, isn't it amazing? But she goes to get the water, and then next thing you know, he asks for a little morsel of bread to put in his hand, and she says, but I have just a little meal and a little oil in my cruse, and I'm going to take these sticks and go and dress it and make a meal for me and my son so that we shall die after that meal. Right. And he says, just continue to provide, just make this for me, trust the Lord, and you'll never run out. And she just kept reaching in there, and more meal kept coming out, and more oil kept pouring out, more oil, because she trusted the Lord with what little bit she had, and she was willing to give it. And next thing you know, in abundance, and she just kept being blessed. And God does that with us. We just keep giving, whether it be financially or with our time, but we just keep giving to God more and more, and He just keeps pouring more and more out and continues to want to bless us and use us even greater for Him. You think about our missions. I sat back there. Now, you obviously, thank goodness, nobody puts a name on it, because I can honestly promise you, even taking up the offering, I've never looked at a single envelope. I always put them upside down. It's none of my business. But, you know, we were counting the missions giving, and it's 105 cards came in. That's a lot of cards. And it was all those little amounts on the card that just kept adding up so that we can give to our missions and our missionaries so that they can do a work that we can't be a part of. And so you think about how just our little bit continues to help. And you think about, what did a cloud the size of a hand in 1 Kings 18 do? Again, Elijah, and he tells Ahab in that, and he goes up on Carmel and he says, you know, there's nothing in the sky. What's he say? He goes, go back and look 7 times. And he comes back and says, all I see is a cloud the size of a man's hand. And the next thing you know, the heavens and the sky got dark and it just started to pour. That little cloud, what it can do. And I was listening to this morning's message. I know it was alluded to, but what did a few small fish do to feed 5,000 men? You see, and so we just trust God with a little, and He can do so much with it and with us. 1 Samuel 2:19, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. And when she came up with her husband to offer yearly sacrifice, you see, we can, those little, a little coat, a little thing. I remember years ago at the church we were at prior to here, We used to do a once a week a missions night, or once a month, I'm sorry, once a month a missions night on a Wednesday night. And we would write a letter with questions to our missionaries and ask them to respond. And then throughout the year, we would do cards for them or make them a letter and send it to them or something like that. And that, a little gesture of a card or a little gesture of a note coming from a junior church program meant so much to those missionaries. And it would, that they would even, someone would even remember them. And you think about that, to us it was just a few minutes of our time, but it mattered greatly to them. A little hospitality goes a long way. Let's go over to Genesis 24. In verse 17. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. So a little hospitality. I mean, we know camels, they can go great distances without giving in to thirst. But when they do drink, they drink a lot. But she just wanted to make sure that not only was he taken care of, but that the camels were taken care of. And that little hospitality we can do can go a long way. You think about, sadly today, that so many churches I've seen around us, and I'm not talking about our church, but so many churches are being ran like a business, that they're losing their hospitality. They're worried about the attendance numbers, and they get worried about having a little stand in the back that they can give coffee out, and they're sending vouchers so you can get a free coffee when you come to church. And they're doing everything. They got boards, and they have committees instead of having deacons, and instead of having leaders in the church. And they're just doing it to a point of, how can we draw the numbers? I know when we went down to South Carolina to visit my sister-in-law, she definitely goes to a different flavor of church than we're used to, and I'll try to be as good as I can. Because we were trying to be good and said, okay, we'll go with you to your church this morning. And I remember looking over at my kids when the electric guitar and the drums started playing. And my wife yells at me to check my face, but that morning I had to tell the boys to check their faces because they're just like. But I remember she was saying that she was on this outreach committee, and it wasn't about reaching out to souls. It was about outreach, just to how to grow the numbers in the church. And that blew my mind. It sounded to me like a store trying to figure out how you can get more people into the store than into the church. And if you want to grow your church, you start leading people to the Lord. Because that little time that you take to lead someone to the Lord can add up big. Well, and you think about why that, and this is why our churches, for the most part, aren't growing today. We can do so much by doing little things to share the gospel. I know that we talk about giving out gospel tracts, inviting coworkers. That small talk that you can sometimes do to reach out. I know so often when we've gone out soul winning, I get farther with someone just idle chit-chat to start with. And then you can start leading them into talking about the Lord. You get to show, it sounds awful, but it just sounds different. But you start talking about the car they're washing or something. You offer to wash the car with them so you can share something with them. And you start to see them open up and be more receptive. They need to see that we care first, and that we really truly are there because we love them. Think about a little invite to a Christmas play. That was the greatest thing that happened to our family. I wouldn't think much of inviting someone to a Christmas play, but you don't realize what that can do to someone's life and how God's going to use them years down the road. Amen. Showing a little love or kindness. I know our world can be mean and ugly today, but we can make it better by showing a little care and kindness to one another. I've watched Pastor countless times just pat someone on the shoulder without even saying a word, And that's just his little way of saying, hey, I'm thinking about you. I care about you. I'm praying for you. Now, I get punched on the shoulder, so I don't know what that says, but he does that just to show a little bit of care and a little kindness and a little love. You see, those little details often mean the most. I've gone to funerals, and they're no fun, we know that, but I think of those funerals, and everyone gets up and they tell those stories, and it's always the little things that somebody did in their life. My grandfather and my grandmother, I remember they would always joke around about the knickknacks, and my grandma would always put these knickknacks up, and he'd always take them down and put them in a drawer. And that was their little quarrel. You know, but you think about all those things that just continue that up. I think with my kids, they don't want to go to stores. They don't want to go to restaurants. They want to drive around and go to the car dealership or go to the RV place and find cars or RVs that are open that we can look at. Or just go for a little get lost ride. They love going out in the middle of nowhere and just seeing if daddy can find his way home. Little do they know that new cars have compasses now, so it's easier. But they just enjoy that little time together. You see, when we truly see ourselves as little, only then will we be big in God's eyes. Now, I know that I think about my nerves whenever I get up to preach, and it's always worse here. You know, at first when you get asked, you're like, yeah, I'll do it. Yes. And then you walk away about 10 feet and go, did I just say yes? No. And I get up here and I got to keep lowering my lapel thing because you probably can hear my heartbeat. But I realize that if I'm doing it with God, he's just going to guide me through the way.
Amen.
You see, we see ourselves as useless without him. We can't do it without God.
That's right.
And he will guide us every step of the way. I was downstairs in junior church. I'm teaching the kids those baby steps in their walk for the Lord. And I said, you know, it starts with getting saved, and then you take the baby step of being baptized, and you just keep doing little bit by little bit. And I said, it's amazing that when you just keep trusting the Lord and you do that each little baby step, all of a sudden you just keep finding yourself farther and farther down that narrow pathway that he sets before you. You just got to be willing to keep making the steps forward for him. In that verse again in Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. You see, the word Bethlehem means house of bread, and Ephratah means fruitful. It says Bethlehem was little, it was the littlest among the group, and yet you look at what came out of Bethlehem. You had King David, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, I think of so many little churches that I've gone to, and you know, I take a family of six in there, and we increase their attendance by 50%. But then you get to talk to the people, and you hear about all those that have gone out of that church to go on to be missionaries or pastors. And you pull in that parking lot thinking, this little church? And we also, God realizes, though, we're little in the grand scheme of things. But little old us working together can do so much for the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we again just thank you, Lord, so much for what you do in our lives. We do thank you for those little things, Lord, that you continue to just use us for. But also, Lord, those little things that you just continue to bless us with each and every day. To just restore our faith and our trust in you, Lord, and just to know that you care. But Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us today just realizes that no matter how big of a task that we have or how little of a task, as long as we continue to serve you and just do what you've asked of us, Lord, this church here can do so much for you in spreading the gospel. And Lord, we do pray today that if someone doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, today be the day that they take those steps, Lord, and just to put their trust and faith to you and make the greatest decision they could ever make. And again, Lord, we just thank you so much for all you've done for us. And again, we thank you in advance for what you continue to do. And we pray these things in the name of your precious Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.